You're listening to Pastor Larry Lee from The Gathering Place in San Bernardino, California.
Missionary called to Africa upon his life. So he's scientists that were listening to him brag about a bomb like that, they thought they'd take him up on his little claim. And so he went on, he says, you could put diseased material and saliva in my hand, and the cancer cells of the dead cell, the cells will die in my hand. They took him up on it so they could do this in a laboratory, put some dead cell or put some contagious cells in his hand, and put his hand under a microscope. And you know what? The cells died. So excited that when I ran home and told Mom, I said, hey, guess what God spoke to me? And he's about to fulfill the dreams and visions of yours. She says, oh, that's nice. What a dream killer. Well, it wasn't a revelation. She wasn't taking anything away from me. I just thought I could just bust my bubble with it. And you know, I'm going to tell somebody because it was so clear in my mind. So 2 hours later, I'm calling this lady that I know had prayer ministry. I saw you on the floor and your church weeping your heart out from that, and I heard God say he's about to fulfill the dreams and visions of yours. About 3 hours after it literally had happened to me on the floor, God spoke into me. Nobody on the planet but myself, my wife, Mary, and I had said that to me. And when someone like that, a total stranger that you've never had a conversation with, says that to you, but he didn't come to you. We often interpret the things that God says wrongly. So I automatically thought that it was going to be my dreams and my visions, and I'm looking forward to everything. And so then that's in February of 1998, and there's a woman in our church who was barren. They hadn't had a child for about 12 years, but they were trying to have a child. And that morning also, the brother that I was praying with, he got a word that they were going to have a baby. And so I said, well, let's not tell him, because they've already miscarried so many times, carried a baby. 4 or 5 months, and then miscarried. And so I said, and well-meaning Christians have always come to him and said, the Lord told me you're going to have this baby. Well, the Lord never had a baby. And everyone died. And they miscarried everyone. So I said, let's not say anything until we get about the point, the turning point where, we carried the baby, about that turn where they abort the baby. And let's wait. So we got pregnant. So we waited for about 5 months, just about 5 months. I said, we need the word of the Lord right now. Let's not wait any longer. So we had to say, God spoke to us, and we hadn't told him before that because we know you've got a lot of words. And people have said that this is going to happen, God will do this, it didn't happen. And now we become disillusioned with God. Thinking somehow, it's God's not right in his time. He said, I said, God, I'm telling you this, by the way, Lord. And God spoke to us and said, you're going to have this baby. And we prayed like that. Birth and had that baby. They named him Nathan after the prophet Nathan gave that spoken see it nowhere. I don't know where it's at. And I said, what are you crazy? And I said, where's your car? She said, what's this? It's all across. She said, where'd you put the wheel in it for? And she just put it off. So finally, I got the key. I said, let me have your keys. I'm going to take it across. She said, I'll have to show you. Because you won't know what it is until I tell you. So we walk over there, and we're walking. There's hardly any cars in the parking lot at all. And she's like, just before says, did he take the offer? And I said, well, you know, what do we do? He says, well, let's offer him $230,000. So we offer him $230,000. They left with a $50,000 balloon payment. They left at that, so he said, well, we're going to do this the third time now. And I said, just offer him $230,000 flat out. And it was the Small Business Administration on the building, and all of a sudden they had a board meeting. And the Small Business meeting, this was the agenda. And they looked at each other and said, how in the world can a building that we just had appraised last year for $650,000 only be worth $230,000? And then they said, oh, well, let's just clear the books. $230,000. $650,000 building for $230,000. That's more. I mean, that's less than most people for houses. And by the way, in about 5 years, I would completely pay off. Praise the Lord. That's a sign. Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for these wonderful signs, God, that you're giving me. So we put the old place up for sale, and there were two really dilapidated old buildings. I don't remember. You'd have to be in there to know what I'm talking about. I've been preaching over the wall, and I've been doing it all. I've been taking out all of the support to the wall, and opening up this thing. We remodeled the living without permits, you know, and there was a big smoke coming on this wall. And on a windy day, I'd be preaching, and the walls would be moving, about a half a foot or so moving. I'd be preaching out here, and I'm looking at the people, and nice and running under the seats of the people. I'm thinking, dear God, why the ladies off right now? And I'm like, well, I could imagine what would happen, but whatever the place that our floor view was over there. Help me, Lord. Please help the Holy Spirit, because I don't remember the dreams. I don't remember. Says, there's been visions in the heart of prophetic people and the prophets in the church for 50 years, 100 years. They've been seeing in the Bible. It's coming, the harvest of the last days of heaven. And God says, you're going to see the dreams of the visions. You're going to see the dreams of visions. And there's a move of the Holy Spirit. And so I just started thanking God and praising the Lord. And God just began to really move my spirit. And chapter 33 and verse number 4. The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. The Spirit of the Lord, or the Ruach of God, hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty has given me life. And the word breath is the same word that's used there in Genesis when it says God breathed. Now the word breathe is a little different than breath. And the word breathe means to blow into, inflate something. The breath of God, or the Spirit of God, breathed into me, into man's nostrils, and breathed his breath of life, the breath of life. And the word breath, actually, in the Hebrew, it means a divine inspiration. An inspiration of the soul and the spirit. A divine inspiration, okay? Because the Lord Almighty has given me life. Well, that's what life is. Life as a Christian is lived out under the divine unction or the divine inspiration of God as God breathes his word out upon us. The apostle said, for we have borne the mind of the Lord that he may instruct us, but we have the mind of Christ. We already have it. I was musing, all these things when I heard that little thing show your notes, and I didn't do it, but it started because I heard the voice of God. And you hear the voice of God when you're reading the Word, when you're praying, when you're seeking God, when you're just living in His presence, when you're walking under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, when you're doing those things, then when you find it's so rewarding, it's so refreshing that you find this desire to want to continually live and prosper and live under the divine inspiration that comes from your soul. And so the word inspiration, listen to what it means, the divine inspiration of God. The infusion of ideas into the mind by the Holy Spirit. The conveying into the minds of men ideas, notices, or things extraordinary, supernatural influences. The communication of the divine will to the understanding by suggestion or impressions on the mind, which lead no one to doubt the reality of their supernatural origin. I've shared a lot of supernatural thoughts and things and testimonies of my own life personally that affects us. In fact, it's affected me for most of my Christian walk in my life. That's what God wants to do, and He wants you to be open to the divine inspiration upon your soul, upon your spirit. All right, now, I want to look at just one final thing, because this is really, this is praying. Most of all that I've said this morning together in a cohesive way for you to have something when you walk out of here today to say, God, I can put that into practice. I can help. I can do that, Father. But, okay, so would you take your Bibles and having turned there from Job, let's go to Proverbs, the 15th chapter. And this is where the Lord, I got this far, and the Lord wanted me to go this direction now. And so I know that this is the word of the Lord. And Proverbs, the 15th chapter of Proverbs. Are you there? Let's just read the first four verses. I'm self-conscious of my mouth, but harsh words stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours it forth foolishly. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. See, there he's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's always there. He's omnipresent. He's watching over everything that's going on. But verse number 4 is where I believe the Holy Spirit wants us to really focus his last moment's attention. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Or a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it is a breach in the spirit. A breach in the spirit. Now, what does it mean to have a wholesome tongue? A wholesome tongue is the Hebrew says the word wholesome means a curative or a pure. It says medicine. A wholesome tongue is like medicine. Hallelujah. It says it's deliverance. A wholesome tongue is deliverance. A wholesome tongue is balance. It's medicine. It's healing. It will deliver you. It will deliver others. It has in the tongue the power of what? Life and death. But the power of the tongue determines where you're going to live. If you live under the law of they come on a speakerphone and they went on to tell me about so-and-so, what so-and-so had done for them. And you know, I think that it was right and everything else. And I said, I think what's right is for you to just block the whole damn mess. Because it's going to get you in a pit. And I can already tell right now that you're under a stronghold of the enemy because those thoughts in your mind, they're exalted against the knowledge of God's word. And I'm telling you, what you ought to do is pull them down right now. You got to cast them down in the name of Jesus Christ. It was a loving, gentle rebuke. But what am I supposed to do? Say, oh, yeah, no, I, you know, I didn't hear, you know, anything. Or, yeah, you know, sounds like that they said that. I'm just sick and tired. But what, all of that garbage and all that crap that does nothing but kills, steals, and destroys. God wants to bring His Spirit upon us. He wants to empower us. The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I'm not going to be ruined because I'm not going to allow my tongue to breach my relationship with the rock. Because your spirit, you can look in the Greek, in the Greek or in the Hebrew. In the Greek is pneuma, but in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, it's rock. Your spirit is rock. It's a place where the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you. You have the rock inside of you. And if you want to breach of the rock, you want to breach of walking in the Spirit and living in the Spirit, then go ahead and entertain those unlawful things. Entertain that man that stopped talking about somebody behind their back and all of those things that destroy God and do it wrong and ruin God. And you'll find yourself distant from God. You'll find yourself in a pit of ruin. Accepting the sacrifices of God, a broken spirit, and a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Proverbs 15:3, merry heart, make it a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow the heart of the spirit is broken. Proverbs 17:22, merry heart is good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dies at the broken tongue. Talking about fractured hearts. The broken spirit, the contrite heart before God, that he will not despise, is a woman's humility that will say to God, O God, I need your help. Oh, Lord, I can't save myself. Oh, God, I can't deliver myself. Help me, Lord God. That's the broken spirit. And if you're not being inspired by the divine inspiration of God in your life, then it might be indication that there's a breach in the spirit. There's a brokenness in the spirit. And listen, I don't think that any one of us here in this room are exempt from having a broken relationship or a broken spirit, a separation from God from time to time because we allow unwholesome things in our lives. I want you to stand to your feet with me this morning. I want to pray this prayer over you. Listen, I would be the first one this morning to respond to this word from God, saying, God,